It's Kiva. It's 8 o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie News. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight with Mississippi's own Surviving Allison. The band of six is made up of Chris Eckes, Drew Gann, Andrew Farrell, Zach Jones, Mason Dowd, and Preston George. I first found them a couple months ago during the Reverb Nation campaign and really kind of fell in love with a song called Mockingbird by them. I'm glad to finally get an interview with them. It's hard to get a whole band together at one time. And introduce them to you. Surviving Allison is a versatile, multi-genre band based in North Mississippi and has had a great deal of success over the past year. They played shows with headliners Andy Grammer, Gloriana, the Eli Young Band, the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, the Weeks, and the Kentucky Headhunters. Over the past year, they have won 5 out of 5 battles of the bands, opened up the 2012 Bulldog Bash at Mississippi State University, headline shows at Rick's Cafe in Starkville, Mississippi, and at the New Daisy Theater in Memphis, and released a CD which sold out of its initial run overnight. In June, Surviving Allison will take the stage with country recording artists Skylar Lane and Montgomery Gentry. Aside from continuing to make a name for themselves in their own home state, they plan on branching out in other areas of the southeastern U.S. during a summer tour. The sky is the limit for Surviving Allison. Currently, Surviving Allison can be heard on 2 North Mississippi radio stations and 2 internet radio stations, including Butterflies Radio. They hope that every listener enjoys their sound as much as they feel the words that live in every Surviving Allison song. They, as a band, strive to provide you with a soundtrack to survive your Allison. We are all Surviving Allison. Now, for the first song of the night, I'm going to start off with music before I start the interview. It's a song called Bullets in My Bones.
When you walked out, I didn't say a word. Still trying to pick up the pieces of my heart you left on the bedroom floor. They say that time can ease your pain. Well, my watch don't work and you're to blame. Still trying to find a rhyme or reason to make all these feelings go. How do I just start again? I'm 6 feet down, walls caving in. I can barely move a muscle. My mind's like a roller coaster. The days are hard and the nights are numb. Frustrating. If I drink, then maybe it will.
Now, you guys, you did just did a little mini touring, right? Because you were opening for Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, right?
Yeah, we did that one. That was really our only show with them, but we've kind of done just local
different bands.
Yeah, just a bunch of
we kind of band hopped around. We did a bunch of big bands and a couple of oldie bands, and then some just a lot of different genres. To be honest with you,
I saw that you also did a thing with the Kentucky Headhunters.
Yeah, that was awful.
They were awful, or you were awful?
No, it was just awful.
The crowd was kind of awful.
In general,
you can believe that.
They were really cool. It just wasn't our crowd. You can understand that.
Yeah, I think that's. I went to see. Have you been to Nashville before? To any of the venues there?
Yeah, we played at Nashville Underground.
I like Third and Lindsley. I like the stage. It's a good size, and the venue's good. And I went there to see a musician, and he was another British musician, singer-songwriter. And he was kind of, it was just him and his guitar, just acoustic.
Right.
And when he finished, the next thing that was up was they must have been like an 8 or a 10-piece blues band. So it was very different, and the vibe was very different. Yeah, so I can see where you can get in with, things that just don't work out, with you. I went to 100 Monkeys. I went to see them a couple years ago. And they had, I want to say they were supposed to have, two opening acts. But one of the singers, his plane didn't connect, and he was driving from another town. So they, I guess, called in some local bands to perform, too. So they had four opening acts, and one of them, I'm not kidding, they were 10, 12, 13, and they were singing Sweet Child of Mine. I was like, this just doesn't feel right at all.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. So
we don't play that. We don't play that tune, so.
Well, that is actually my husband and mine, our song, and not our wedding song, but you know how you have this song when you date? That was it, and I'm sitting here thinking, what the hell was I thinking?
Exactly.
That's not exactly, a love song.
It's a song that kids that are still in puberty are playing. It's not that good anymore.
Yeah, it's not. Now, how did you guys come together? How did you become a band? When did that happen?
We've all been friends for a while. Most of us, four of us have, and then we had a band. We were in high school, just kind of played around, and then about 7 months ago, we picked up two other guys the lead guitar player and the banjo player, and then we just started a band like that. So we've only been going at this band, you know, like with what you've been hearing for about 7 to 8 months now. So
you kind of submitted to Butterflies to the Reverb Nation campaign pretty soon after you started.
Yeah, we didn't have any music to show for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you only had like a couple songs on there, and then you recorded Hallelujah like during the campaign.
Yeah, see, but like he lied about that because like that was when I was in like 10th grade in my room. Like, and he I guess he didn't get that, and so he's like, we're going to post this song that we just did, and I was like, I just went with it.
Yeah, just go with it.
That was like, a long time ago, but yeah.
Well, I thought it was great, and I went to L.A. in February for the Artists and Music Awards, and we drove down to San Diego, me and the two station owners and their spouses, and one of the guys that sings the intro to my show. So we were driving to San Diego to see another musician play, and they had a CD of people that were on, you know, the rotation and playing it. And I was like, you know, everybody else is picking their songs here. I said, I really want to play Surviving Allison. So, you know, I hooked up Reverb Nation through my phone while we were driving so we could get it on so everybody could hear it together. Because that's the thing, we don't get together. You know, we screen the songs individually, so it's kind of nice to, as a group, you know, get together and discuss, you know, different songs.
Yeah, exactly.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, we do.
Definitely.
Now, when I listen, my husband helps me do A&R, too, and when I heard Mockingbird, that just blew me away. I was like, oh, I'm in love with this song, and they have to be on the station, and he came upstairs, and I said, look who I found tonight. It was like, you've got to hear this. Because what will happen during those campaigns, too, is, you know, I'll go through and do 100, 200 songs at a time. You know, working on listening to them, approving them. You guys, I think it was one of those shit days where nothing sounded good, you know, or nothing was really blowing me out of the water. And then you guys did. It's like, thank God, you know, that one redeeming thing happened out of this 6 or 8 hour thing.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, you guys, you've been recording, right?
Right.
So is this this will be your first EP you bring out?
We just released it about a month ago. And it finally, well, I guess it wasn't, we've been done with it for a few months, but it finally got released a few weeks ago, I guess. And then we're fixing to start back next month doing a full album this time, so.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. So,
do you guys do you like performing live, or do you like the studio more?
It's definitely live.
We hate the studio.
And see, I asked that question. I've started asking that lately because, you know, some of the singer songwriters that don't have a band, you know, they say there's good and bad points with both, but they kind of prefer the studio, and I don't know. I like live shows because, you know, if you follow one band or one musician and you see them at several different venues, you get a different vibe at different venues. And I think your performance comes across, it can be different at every venue.
Well, we don't like to toot our own horn, but we're very good live. Like, that's what we strive to do. Like, we could care less about recording an album.
Yeah.
That's just how we give our fans the music without us having to play shows all the time. Like, we love live shows and making each show different and more fun. And, I mean, that's just what we all go for. I mean, I know I love it.
Now, one of you is still in high school, right?
Yeah, the lead guitar player. He's actually got prom tomorrow, so it's a big day for him.
Awesome. That's an early prom. I don't think we have ours till, I'm going to say, the first part of May.
He's excited, so.
It's pretty big deal, I guess.
Well, you know, it'd be even better if you were playing at the prom and going.
Yeah, we were supposed to do that and got turned down.
No way!
Yeah.
Well, they only had like $150 for their budget, and we were like, no.
We can't really travel that way.
We can't travel with six
Not
guys.
Not six people, yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, that's got to be a challenge if you went on tour. Or when you go on tours, you know, six guys and all the equipment that has to go with you.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
We're going to have to start, like, cutting some people off.
you'll have a whole caravan. You'll, like, convert some old school bus, and
yeah,
you'll be like the Partridge Family or something.
That's probably what it's going to take.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot.
I'm by the school bus.
Now, where are you planning to tour? Are you going to focus on the South and the Southeast, or are you going to go West?
Well, we're actually going North, Northeast, mm-hmm. and then we're going to try to cut back all the way down into Florida.
Yeah. So
this is going to be like almost like an Eastern tour, just mm-hmm. North and South bows. We're not really hitting one just geological area. It's going to be quite a few. As many, whoever wants us to play, we're going to travel.
We actually have some recording time in Cincinnati, Ohio. So we were trying to get some shows on the way to Cincinnati, and then we've always wanted to go out east to the coast.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. So I know New York City, a good venue there, is the Bitter End.
We hope not.
No, that's the name of the venue.
What's the name of the venue, Drew?
Wait, I thought you said, is that going to be the Bitter End?
No.
That's the venue in New York City, and I've seen people start their tour there or end their tour there. It's one of those venues that I guess it's that good that you want it to bookend your tour.
Sometimes it's just hard for a band like us to get shows because, like, they don't know who we are and they don't want to, like, we're like, oh, we live 10 hours away. They're like, nah, probably not.
Because it would take a lot of money to, we would have to make a lot of money to fund our travel and everything for a band that they don't really know much about.
Yeah.
And we haven't been in the area before.
And I think that's where your challenge is initially, and for a lot of indie artists, is that you end up spending a lot of your own money to kind of, you sell your CDs and everything on tour and your merchandise, but you do good to break even. You know, you're trying to get it out there and make people know who you are, but it's hard to turn a profit on a tour, but then you have to tour. It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Next up is my song choice of the evening and the song that got Surviving Allison onto Butterflies Radio. It's called Mockingbird.
It's time to loosen off these chains. Gotta redirect this plane. Cause I'm drowning in the water. It keeps getting harder every day. I can't stand to see a mirror. Cause looking back, it ain't for real. Stuck so deep inside my twisted, and maybe there's a better way I could feel. Cause there's a frozen bitter wind down my silver I came in. I need some shelter from the weather. Only you can make it better, my friend. Oh, mockingbird, bring me a little peace with the melody. Lest I respect for myself and everything that I wanna be lately. I could take a little pretty while I make a paradise and make it alright. Oh, mockingbird, bring me a little peace with the melody. Mockingbird, bring me. It's like I've fallen straight through the sky. Two of them where all the love is died. Someone send us all a wake up call before we fall in way too long. No one looks as they pass you by. Too much life, barely any time. Well, my king burn a bridge. Back for myself and everything that I wanna be lately. I could take a little pretty while I make a paradise and make it alright. Oh, the mockingbird will bring me a little. laughing at him on the ride one night, never going back. And not a he said, she said, did that. It's not a bitch, got home, that's a fact. It's a lot of path to destruction, man. Without loving your life, you will never dream. Still saw the sky, they will never gleam. Take control of yourself, anatomy. To make is a simple change. On a sunny day, don't ever let it rain. Never watch your life through a window pane. Listen to the mockingbird as I sing. Find peace like a river and make it flow. The front and pass and let it go. Take control of yourself and you go on. The whole world is up to you. Would any fall? A little piece with the melody. A star respect for myself. And every little thing that I want to be. Take a little pretty while I make a paradise and make it all right. Oh, I can't burn a brick of me. A little piece with the melody. I can't burn a brick of me. A little piece with the melody. I can't burn a brick of me.
You know, we'd love a label. It's just hard to find those too, but people just aren't really wanting to invest in anybody right now, and it can be frustrating.
Well, I think labels too, and I've heard from different bands that they might get a label and they find that it wasn't exactly what they wanted because they get so stifled creatively, and they do like the you know, being the indie musician and controlling everything, but. That being said, then you have to wear a million hats, you know, marketing,
yeah.
The business part, and you kind of, it's hard to enjoy the music and just get to play and live that. So is there one of you that writes the music, or do you all contribute?
Oh, there's three of us that write, me, and then the banjo player, and then the rhythm guitar player. Everybody else just kind of, like, we write the lyrics, everybody kind of comes together, and we do the music, you know, all together, but... Lyrically, it's pretty much just the three of us. So
now, so the drummer is, because I don't have the video. So the drummer does not get to write music.
They don't let me write very much.
Now, I interviewed a band in Virginia, and it was the same way. You know, they all wrote except for the drummer. They didn't take his contributions. you know, he didn't feel like he really had them. He was like, I don't know that I can write it. You know, but it's a four-person band, and, you know, he doesn't do it. And by the way, I'm partial to drummers. That's the instrument that I like the most that I'll pick up on in songs. So, and I know how they get kind of shoved to the back, and, that you know, they're important.
Shut up, Andrew.
Now, where do you guys, you practice twice a week, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to drive far to do that, or is it close?
Well, it's about, for three of us, it's 5 minutes from our houses, and then for one of us, it's an hour away.
Oh, that's a long drive.
Yeah.
To have to do twice, like, each way, it's an hour?
Yeah, it's a two-hour way, you know, both there and back, so. But he gets done.
Who
He's
wrote?
Young, so.
Yeah, he can do it. When you're young, you like to drive everywhere.
Yeah, you do.
Now, who wrote Mockingbird?
Me.
So you want to tell me, like, what inspired it, and... You know, kind of you're listening to this song and all of a sudden, you know, and maybe I'm not using the term right or loosely, you kind of bust into a rap in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
And back to the rap. Song, and that's kind of what got my attention. I was like, that's brave. And
yeah. Well, actually, when it's always been a rap, and then we recorded it and we decided to change it for the album to make the live show different from the studio version. I don't know, there wasn't really an inspiration to the song. I kind of just sat down and started writing, and I got, you know, what I got. I know.
I think it's pretty awesome, and I like that it kind of mixes the two sounds there together, because you're listening to this one song, and it's a long song. You know, so you're listening to, what is the song, about 4 minutes something, almost 5 minutes?
It's like 4:26.
And I think you're about, you know... 3 minutes into it, and then it switches.
Yeah,
you know, so you're kind of comfortable with it.
It completely kicks, you know, the rhythm and everything, and that's what we wanted to do. Because it wasn't necessarily wrote like that when we first did it. A lot of the songs we write aren't, like, because we don't sit down and write together.
Yeah.
Like, we'll all write individually, and then we'll bring them to practice and see what everybody likes. Like, we've all had songs that they didn't like and they turned them down. And, like, in me being the piano player, every time I write, it's a ballad.
Just naturally.
It's just a ballad. Like, Mockingbird was a ballad. It's just naturally. And so most of the time, like, Ghost in the Jukebox, I don't know if you've heard that one, but that was a ballad. And then I let them just kind of take it away, and you know, you listen to what happens with that song, so.
Now, lead singer, which one is that?
The guy, this is me talking.
Andrew?
Chris,
okay.
Yes.
I'm trying to keep, it's hard, especially when I don't have the video to see it.
Yes, the lead singer wrote Mockingbird. Me, Chris.
Is that something that if you don't like a song, do you not do it? Because to sing it, to feel it.
Yeah, most of the time, yeah. And they hate me for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kind of get the last word, because if you're not feeling it, you're not going to sing it. You know, and, you know, they kind of have to get you to say yes to their songs.
Yeah. We don't really have that problem very often. Most of the time, if they write good words, or if we write good words, I'll find a way to make it cool. And then, you know, sometimes it's not even about me. If the song's jamming and they like it, you know, I don't care. You know,
do you play any instruments too?
Yeah, I play the piano.
But you can't take that on tour. That's a little harder, right?
Well, I play a keyboard.
That's still a big instrument to have to pack and lug around. It's a challenge.
It's a bass amp.
Yeah, it's not as bad as the bass amps we got.
And that's a good point.
Big. It's really not that bad. Not as bad as carrying an actual piano. I just stand up and play it.
Oh yeah, so
just hang out.
Now, do you play it on every song?
Just about, but we've kind of gotten away from that, which is awesome for me. So.
Oh yeah, so you can focus on the vocals.
No, so I can focus on the crowd.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the vocals. If I mess up, I mess up. I don't care about that. No. Our focus isn't about how we sound, it's how the people like it. That's kind of our focus. And if we're doing that, then we're going to sound good. So,
now, do you ever let anybody else sing, or is it always you?
I mean, we have harmony, but other than, like, lead, probably not really.
What happens if you lose your voice?
We don't play.
The drummer sings.
That's where the drummer comes in.
I've
played with strep throat and all that stuff before. I mean, if I lose it completely, we just probably wouldn't play.
We turn the mix down, air strum, and play the CD.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do a Beyonce. Lip sync the whole thing.
Yeah, Beyonce.
Oh my God, you guys are fun. Yeah, you are.
Next up is Surviving Allison with her song Ghost in the Jukebox. Then back to my interview with Chris and the rest of the band.
Can't tell you what it really is, only what it feels like. It's like a pipe bomb dropped in a radio song playing on every turnpike. It's a manifest of words, touch the sky without birds. It's my cardiac arrest when you're looking at your best from the pictures on my phone. The way the smoke and the perfume linger is a one-shot chance on the tip of my finger. And I won't let it go. The last goodbye on a car ride home, 2 weeks in and I'm all alone. Oh, but I won't let it go. The girl's in the jukebox and she keeps pressing play. The song we sang as children when everything was okay. Repeating every single word that we had ever said. There's a ghost in the jukebox every night when I lay down for bed. Yeah, I know words to describe this thing. It's neither happiness nor pain. It's like a one-lane tunnel with the headlights coming. I'll be crashing while we're swerving. It's like I'm out in the open water while the sharks try to drag me under. Gasping for air, praying you're there, knowing that you'll come tomorrow. All the smoke and the perfume linger is a one-shot chance on the tip of my finger. And I won't let it go. The last goodbye on a car ride home. 3 weeks in and I'm still alone. Oh, but I won't let it go. There's a ghost in the jukebox and she keeps pressing play on the songs we sang as children when everything was okay. Repeating every single word that we had ever said. There's a ghost in the jukebox every night when I lay down for bed. Shot chance on the tip of my finger. I won't let it go. Last goodbye on a car ride home. 1 month in and I'm still alone. Oh, but I won't let it go. There's a ghost in the jukebox and she keeps pressing play on the song we sang as children when everything was okay. Repeating every single word.
Now, you guys, how did you decide what genre you were going to play, what your sound was going to be? Did you have a preconceived idea when you got together?
We don't have a genre.
So you'll play, you could play classical music, and then you could play...
This is what we do. We get in practice, and somebody writes something, mm-hmm. and if we like it, we like it, we go with it, and we let other people decide for themselves of what they want to call it.
Oh, I guess what it kind of boils down to, though... is we all have different tastes in music, and it kind of blends all in together into what that we into what our music turns out to be in the end.
I think I've seen more of that too. Is a blending of genres where it kind of the lines are blurred.
If we were to say we're punk rock, which we're not, or like if we were going to say we're folk, or if we're pop rock. Then we would limit ourselves to what we can do.
Now, so see, when you talk about wanting a label, that's a problem you're going to get because they're going to want to, you know, to lock you into one genre.
Yeah, and that you know, that's something we've, you know, kind of fought with. But, you know, we like the fact that no matter who you are or what kind of music you like, you can come to a show and at least like one song.
And that's a good thing, you know, and I think that's cool that as a band... you know, everybody's input, everybody's background is considered and everything, too.
Yeah, and, like, we don't do it on purpose. It just happens. Like, we don't, like, we just write and play and have a damn good time. And
it just works and it comes out that way then.
Yeah.
People are going to, and it doesn't matter what you want to, how you want to pigeonhole yourself, because people are going to call you what they're going to call you.
They are. And, you know, in doing the A&R work, through the last campaign, I got to see all these genres, the names for them, that I don't know that I really paid particular attention to what a genre is when I listen. I just like what I like, and I don't go, I want to hear this genre. I don't really care for heavy metal. I did the heavy metal that was when I grew up, not now, because I feel like now it's just, they're screaming at me.
It's all poppy and yeah, just
yeah. And I just don't like that. But you know, I discovered ska, and I really liked it. And I had never heard of that genre before. So you know, I think people can get introduced to different things. And like you said, go to the show, and you're going to end up liking at least one song.
You will. I mean, I promise. You can have your money back. I mean, you can't sit here and tell me you're not going to like something we do. Whether it's Love You or Mockingbird. I mean, you're going to like something. If you don't, you're lying.
Now, when you're playing, what is the song that people seem to respond to the most?
love you, probably. Well, Mockingbird kind of is a crowd catcher, because, I mean, it's one of those where the people who know the words are singing their hearts out, but the other ones who don't are really intentionally listening. But as far as the one that we probably have the most crowd catchiness for would be Love You. Just because the song itself has a completely different meaning than what you would expect it when you actually read the name of the song.
So what, for people who haven't heard it, well, they'll hear it on the show. What does it mean? You know, what's coming across in that song?
It's a love song for somebody you hate.
Ah. I think there's more songs like that out there than you know.
Probably.
We would agree.
Yeah, but, this one's just easy. It's like the chorus has like four words.
It's very easy to listen to, and it's got a...
It's got a kick-ass banjo in it.
It's got an easy chorus.
Banjo. The kick-ass banjo. I like that.
You quote me on that one.
Now, which one of you wrote the song, you know?
Me.
Chris.
Me.
Chris wrote it. So, did you write it with the banjo in mind?
No, we didn't. We wrote that one
before the banjo was here.
Yeah, we wrote that about 2 years ago.
Ah, then the banjo shows up and it rocks your world.
Let's just put it this way. One night, we got to play music or whatever. Just playing music, and then woke up the next morning, didn't remember any of it, and we kind of found the lyrics and the chord progression, and we played it over, and we were like, hey, that's a good song. When do we write that?
And so
kind of how we got the song. So.
I've been there before. I take Ambien to sleep. I'm notorious.
That was all it was.
Yeah,
it was
a lot of Ambien. Yeah.
I am notorious for, I'll get on a writing kick, and I'll write something, and I don't remember it later. I'm like, did I write that? And I actually took that one step further, and I got a tattoo that says, write drunk, edit sober, which
that's
is a Hemingway.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a Hemingway quote, but it's on my wrist, and it's like a wine stain or a glass stain, the ring of it, and then write drunk's in the middle of it, and edit sober's on the outside of it. Yeah. And I kind of agree.
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't ride drunk anymore. I don't get drunk anymore, so. But when we did ride it, we were fucked up.
See, but the good stuff comes out of that, because I think you're more raw, and you're not guarding yourself so much, and just what comes out is what comes out. And it's honest, I think. Do you agree?
I do agree. But, I don't know. I think we're all very moody writers. Like, we all don't like to write with one another. I don't know why. We just don't.
Is it hard to present something you've written to the rest of the band? Or do you go into it?
No. It's not hard to present. In fact, every time we come in, Andrew, the drummer, will always ask me to play something new. And sometimes I don't have anything new.
Nothing like the drummer making demands.
You have no idea.
He's yelling at you from behind there, you know.
We put a glass wall up, so we really don't listen much anymore. So.
Oh, poor Andrew.
Yeah, I'm slowly putting my microphone back there and kind of trying to sneak it in there where I can just yell at him.
Yeah, see, that's what I would do. You know, shock them. You come out rapping in the middle of a song.
Well, actually,
you
know? We do that a lot.
No, we don't.
Next up is Surviving Allison and their song, Take My Name.
Tell the truth.
lost it long ago, along the track of time. As a child, I spoke no words, and now a man, I do the same. My mouth, it moves to speak, but my words come out. Each day takes a little of my shame. The snow we melt, the path gets clear, the well it dries up with my tears. Cause I know you will never, yeah, you'll never take my name. You can see the tide in my eyes, but now it comes, there's no surprise. How did you make me feel so ashamed? Snow, it covers up. To the well, I thought it was so dry. One sip was all it took. Now I'm never satisfied.
So, the banjo.
Banjo.
That's an interesting instrument too. It's unique to have that in the band all the time when your music isn't really. I wouldn't say that it's in the genre that I would normally put a banjo.
Yeah, that's kind of where we were striving for the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Was to kind of add a banjo in more pop rock, I guess you would call it, genre.
Now, I've interviewed maybe three musicians that play the ukulele, and you think ukulele, and I think it's a happy instrument. You can't make it anything but happy. And
banjo.
The banjo being a happy instrument? I don't know. I think you can be soulful with that. But the ukulele, a challenge I put out through MSI Labs that they do stuff with us on the stations, we put out a challenge for somebody who plays the ukulele to record a shred song. We wanted to hear them shred the ukulele. I don't know that anybody did it, that anybody took the challenge, but yeah, I wanted to hear like some Metallica, you know, on the ukulele or something.
Just not sure that's possible.
you got to get a ukulele and try now.
Well, I
right?
have a ukulele, and I don't think it's possible.
He's not very good at it.
I'm not good at it, but every chord you play is like you're playing Candyland.
Yeah, it's a totally happy instrument.
My little pony.
Now, is the banjo in every song? Do you have it in every song?
No, it's not. This is Zach. I play the banjo. It's not in every song. We're adding it into more all the time. There's two songs on our EP that have the banjo in them out of the five songs. Love You and Love You is a really like poppy, happy song with banjo. And then the other song is Take My Name. And Take My Name's kind of got a like a grungy southern feel to it. So you definitely can take it any direction you want to.
So what do you do when you're not playing
banjo? I play acoustic guitar, or I play whatever I need to play.
Harmonica. Just kind of move around.
Yeah.
Harmonica's another good one.
Yeah, he's our go-to.
Yeah.
The multi-talented.
An instrument, he's going to play it.
He's the aux player.
What's that?
You like AUX, like auxiliary player?
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I was like picturing a big blue ox, you know, and I'm like, how do you play an ox?
Well, you can.
I'm sure you could.
Mississippi, you play anything.
Now, what's the best place you played so far?
New Daisy, Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee, that'd be a great... Did you just play there?
No, we're just kidding. That's not our favorite place to play.
We played there 3 times. It was actually back in February when we played there last. But probably best venue-wise or best show-wise?
Best show-wise.
Best show-wise, we actually played the biggest outdoor festival in Mississippi. We actually opened that show there in Starkville, Mississippi.
It's called Bulldog Bash.
And it was us, and then it was Andy Grammer, and then Gloriana, a country band, and then the Eli Young Band. It was also another country band, which is weird for us, again, because we played with more country artists probably than any, and we're far from country.
I think you get that crossover, though.
It's kind of hard around here when you're not playing country music, though.
Yeah, because it is more popular the further south you go.
Yes.
More of a southern, what used to be southern rock when I grew up is kind of becoming more country now.
We call it trashy rock now.
Trashy rock.
Like Jason Aldean, trashy
rock. Yeah.
Just nobody, what he describes in his songs, none of us do, nor anybody we know that lives in this area does.
Yeah.
So I hate when people like that give off the wrong impersonation of what we're doing, because we don't get in our Chevrolets and drink natties going down the road to a holler.
Like, I hear you.
What are you talking about?
I hear you. I'm in Kentucky, and I get that. You know, people are like, so they have shacks there? Is it all shacks? And I'm like, no. So is that a challenge for you? Clearly, it sounds like it is one. You know, being where you're at, and people don't know you, trying to get them out, but they're kind of expecting one with the banjo or just the way they get bands down there, that they're expecting more of a country kind of thing. Is that...
Well, actually, a lot of the boys down here are expecting cover bands.
Yeah, and you...
Which is a really big problem we run into, because we don't do that.
I like that. I don't really like covers. You know, I want originality.
We have the occasional cover. You know, we've made some... Like, we did You and I by Lady Gaga, but we added the banjo to it. And then we also added In the Air by Phil Collins. So it's something you'll never hear ever in your whole life.
I guarantee none of you were born when he recorded that song.
Exactly. And it's different, and people hear, they're just like, that was weird and neat, and we liked it a lot. But we hate, like, we can't go into a bar and play, like, a 4-hour show.
Yeah.
Like, we can't, because we probably have an hour and a half of solid original music, and then we'll add, you know, 30 minutes of cover song just to make them happy, and then what? You know, we're not gonna play 3 hours of covers and an hour of original music. It's just not happening.
And that's one problem we run into. I know he's already said around here, but there's just not as many venues around here to play.
Yeah, and that's the problem where I'm at is, you know, given that Lexington's a college town, you would think that there's more venues, but there aren't really that many venues for, you know, for bands or musicians to go to. And I kind of hate that, because I'd like to be, I would go to more shows, you know, if it was close. As it is now, I don't think I've been to one show in Lexington. I've driven to Nashville. I've driven to Louisville. I've driven to Cincinnati. Of course, I've gone much farther because I go to Decatur.
Next up is the artist choice of the night, Surviving Allison with Love You.
Saw you yesterday at the store with that little red dress you always wore. Then I thought, Lord, what did I give away?
couldn't get you out my brain. And then on the radio came Last Dance with Mary Jane. Then I remember that red dress night. But when you said that it was over, it was the best night of my life. I said, love you. And thank God you're gone. She's the last thing I'm gonna miss. And I know something beautiful will come of this. But right now, you're the last thing I'm ever gonna love and miss. And I said, love you and you and you and you. But thank God you're gone. Thank God you're gone. And I said, love you. And I can't, why can I?
There's got to be a diva amongst you. So who would you guys say that is?
There's six of them.
There are six divas in this band. They're all
there's not six training. Of the biggest egos in this band.
Oh, a road trip is going to be a shit ton of fun with you guys.
We are all on complete different spectrums of life. Like, we all like different things, talk about different stuff, listen to different music, do different things. And so to get us all together on one stage, you never know what the hell's going to happen. Let's put it this way. Somebody will always split their pants, and I will always cuss when I'm not supposed to.
But that's, I don't know. I'm bad about that. I will just, yeah. I let the F word just fly.
Yeah, but see, we're all so real people. Like, what you see right now, like, mm-hmm. You don't see us. Well, you see us now. Here we are.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah. What you see here, what you see on stage, and what you'll see after the stage, we're all the same people. We don't pretend. We don't put up a front to make a show. We're all just genuine.
Yeah, and I think that's... I know it's better that way. I think your music is more honest if you're like that.
Oh, it's so honest. I mean, every song we write and sing, we've lived through. We don't just write to please people. We like to please ourselves.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one.
I don't know. Like, we're all very, very humble about what we do, and I think we just try so damn hard that sometimes, you know, it just doesn't work out with a lot of songs or with a lot of things. So we just try so hard to make it perfect, and then, you know, some songs just come together.
Now, was it harder? You said you guys have been friends for a long time. Is it hard having that friendship thing coming into the music? Does that make it more difficult because you're mixing the business with, you know, with a friendship? Is that hard, or does it make it easier?
It just depends on the situation. Like if we all are in practice having fun, friendship's great. But when it comes down to somebody saying, you know, I don't really like your song, or I don't like the way you're playing this part, then it can kind of get a little, you know, there can be some tension, Bill. But I think we've all gotten to the point to where we realize that we started a business, because we are a business, we're an LLC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've started this thing and we want to do this for the rest of our lives, so we got to let emotions go and friendships go and emotions go and just get work done. I mean, we don't have a lot of time throughout the day. Everybody works. Some of us go to school. We've got girlfriends, families, you know, other things we do. So we've had times where we've, you know, bullshitted and not got stuff done, but we do really take it seriously. I mean, like right now, we love to have fun.
Oh, like, yeah.
To do interviews and have fun and just show us who we are. Because we're all really nice guys and genuine guys, and we'd all give each other a shot off our back if we had to.
Now, have you ever had a big disagreement or a fight before you've had to go into the studio together or on stage together, and how do you get past that?
Oh yeah, we fight. We're like Zach said, you've got six huge egos with six guys wanting to do the exact same thing, and if somebody doesn't like the way something's going, I mean, you damn know you're gonna know it. I mean, we don't hold back, which can be a downfall sometimes, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you know, we're not sitting on hot irons either.
Now, I bet Andrew doesn't have an ego.
No, I do not.
No.
And he's probably the most level-headed of everybody, right? The peacemaker? Yeah.
I actually am the peacemaker. That is true.
I'd say that's true. Yeah.
That is true.
Andrew is the peacemaker.
If there's an issue, I'm talking to both sides.
That's going to be a hard position for you.
Yeah, I kind of gave it up.
Yeah, just let them go at it, you know. The studio's got padded rooms. Just put them in there and let them go at it.
See, we don't fight in the studio, though, because we all hate it so much that we are all on the same page.
You just want to get it done and get out of the studio.
Yeah, I'd almost just pay somebody to come do it for us. If I knew somebody that sang just like me, I'd just hire them to come do it for me so I wouldn't have to do it.
I love that you are definitely the most outspoken group against the studio.
It's not real.
I know. And
it's not real. Like I've seen so many bands that their album sounds wicked good, and then you get them on stage, and they are atrocious.
Yeah. I am a bit obsessed with food. So when I go on vacation, or I go to different cities to see bands or whatever, I want to eat something. I want to eat locally. You know, something that, you know, the people who live there would go to, not a chain, because I can have Applebee's anytime, you know. So I ask the places you've traveled or where you live, where is it that you think people should go eat, and what is it that they need to have?
Abe's Grill, Corinth, Mississippi.
And what is so good about Abe's?
Abe's Grill is the greasiest
hole in the wall
that you will ever see in your life. And it has been featured on the front of Mississippi Magazine. And
it's gross. It's absolutely disgusting. But the food there, you have to eat it there, or else you can't get the experience unless you eat it there. It's grossest looking kitchen and people and food.
And then the house behind it.
But you eat the food and you don't even care because you're just like drowning in grease and fat, and it's just
it's the best
amazing.
Place. I would give it a run up. With any other local place, honestly. Yeah.
But if you go to Mississippi, you gotta get a Slug Burger.
And where's that at?
Anywhere.
That is what Corinth is known for.
Borum's Drugstore.
Yeah, you can come to Borum's, White Trolley. Any diner around here will give you a Slug Burger. It's just like flour and hamburger meat mixed together and deep fried.
Oh wow!
They call it a Slug Burger because back in the Depression they used to sell them for a nickel.
Ah. For a slug.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we actually have Slug Burger Festival and a few others. I mean, I mean that is what Corinth
it's
is known
for. It's a North Mississippi tradition.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, see, that's something I didn't know, so
and
now,
like,
you know, people
like,
know that.
Like a dollar.
You guys got to find a way to transport a Slug Burger to me on your way to Cincinnati.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just bring some slug Burger patty mix, and we'll just grill them up at the house and we stay the night.
Yeah, see, that works.
Thank you for your time. We're really
excited. Thank you. I know it's hard to get all you guys together, you know, so I'm happy that I finally got to get you guys, you know, as a group to do the interview instead of just one. You know, that's usually a treat. Everybody doesn't bands really usually have a hard time with everybody getting together at one time. You know, get the interview.
And there's the small army of them.
See, even Andrew got to be in it.
That is true.
If you'd like to know what our hobbies are,
oh yeah, share
like
that.
To play ping pong a lot. we are all better than the Chinese at ping pong. I can almost guarantee that statement. You can quote me on that. We are better than the Chinese. I tell you what. We're good.
Are you better than Forrest Gump?
Yes.
Oh God.
Who's Forrest Gump? Who's Forrest Gump? Yeah.
Now I challenge you now when you come to Cincinnati to find a place to play ping pong.
We actually are aside from a band, we are actually a ping pong.
Intramural team.
This college that we don't go to.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
What we find is the better you are at ping pong, the more ladies will not talk to you.
It's weird.
Is that your goal?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Ping pong is better than ladies, is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight for the Indieviews Artist Spotlight with Surviving Allison, and I hope you enjoyed the interview and their music. I want to thank Chris, Drew, Andrew, Zach, Mason, and Preston for taking the time to do the interview with me. And just so everybody knows, if you haven't seen it in print, they did the interview from the most unique of locations of any of the people I've interviewed before. They did it from the back room of a hardware store full of grills, saws, lawnmowers. It was good for a good laugh. They were a lot of fun. And I'll see you guys back next Monday night. And don't forget, Twitter Tuesday Live is back in a couple of weeks. Until then, have fun.